If you've been listening to the Campfire podcast and would be willing to share your thoughts by answering a few questions, please let us know via the PharmaHealth website or by emailing the team at campfire.ncfh@wdhs.net. Listeners who provide their feedback will be eligible for reimbursement for their time. Welcome to Campfire, connecting primary producers. Campfire provides a solution-focused community for farmers to improve work systems and support mentally healthy workplaces.
Farming has the unenviable reputation of being one of the least safe industries to work in. Sadly, though, injuries and fatalities are not just limited to grown-ups. Each year, approximately 10 children die on Australian farms, and hundreds are admitted to hospital with farm-related injuries. G'day, I'm Drew Radford, and in this Campfire episode, we're going to look at the work being done to change that. Before we delve into the research, I'm joined in the studio by Amity Dunstan to discuss just how much things have changed since when she grew up on a farm and now how she approaches safety with her 12 and 14-year-old children.
I grew up spending much of my holiday and weekend time with my grandparents, my mum's parents, on their farm at Bradvale, which is south of Skipton in the Western District. They had a sheep growing farm, and I can remember fondly, and now look back in retrospect, maybe dangerously, riding on the back of the rolls as we carted them out of the paddock and stacked them in piles, and sitting in the toolbox with the rag over the tools with my grandfather. And mustering sheep and having a great time working on a farm in the country.
Sound like fun and ideal times, but you obviously look at it through a different lens now because you're a parent.
I look at it through a very different lens, knowing that a rollover protection on a tractor is only as good as the seatbelt you're wearing. And look, sitting on that toolbox with nothing over my lap made me quite vulnerable.
To say the least, and hindsight's a wonderful thing. And your children are now growing up on a farm. What are you farming now?
So we have about 4,000 acres of grain where we've got large machinery plus some old remnants from the generations before us. But look, things are very much different operating a cropping property than what I had with sheep down in the Western District.
Well, you still got large machinery around, so let's have a look at large machinery and other hazards to your children. How did you approach safety when your kids were small in those preschool years?
Yeah, look, great question. So when they were little, and living in sort of, let's say, isolation, you can't really walk down to a shop to get an ice cream where you live, when you live where I live. So we would go for a walk every day, whether that be in the pusher or with my son on his balance bike. So we'd stick together and we'd talk about what was happening in the paddocks and we'd stay on the roads and the laneways. At the same time, we'd talk about actually nasty chemicals was the word we used a lot, whether it was fly spray to the chemicals under the sink to what their dad was spraying in the paddocks. Nasty chemicals was our catchphrase of don't touch it because it's bad for you. Santa also delivered earmuffs one Christmas, bright pink and bright green. And look, my house yard is relatively fenced so that was the safe place to play.
So what about when your kids got to school age? Were you able to have different conversations about them doing their own sort of risk assessments, for want of a better description?
Yeah, look, and that transitioned over those primary school years. I can remember then taking them to the old dip, which, having no sheep on our property, it's not used. And actually we have the old community dip in another paddock from, I think, the 1915 it was made. It really is just a hole lined with a bit of iron. But we talk about the history of the sheep dips and the dangers that they bring. We also talked about if you could smell the chemicals, don't go near the chemicals, particularly when you've got the boom spray parked in the big machinery shed, because you can smell the nozzles. So don't go near the boom spray. And then during that first year of the COVID lockdown, I actually took them through the WorkSafe 15-minute farm safety checklist just to make them aware of what the hazards and risks look like and why we do what we do to be safe as farmers.
That's obviously giving them the tools to try and make those decisions. But, you know, kids are kids. Did you also have to go about putting rules and controls in place in terms of access around the farm?
Look, the rules really kick in, I think, when cousins visit and when friends visit, because that peer pressure begins to escalate, particularly as they're moving into those young adolescent years. And the house yard ultimately becomes not a barrier, it's just a line. So, look, in terms of rules, then we had to bring in the context of why we have those rules and what the effects would be if you were hurt or injured, or dare I say, if there was a fatality on the farm. So that's when we get a little bit more serious and have to have that mutual understanding of respecting the rules.
I reckon that's a really great illustration when you've got guests and visitors on board, because that does change the dynamic. I remember I was one of those kids that would turn up to a farm and go, oh, come on, let's go for a ride on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I'll confess, our farm's relatively flat. We're not dealing with those escarpments down to rivers and creeks that a lot of other properties have. But at the same time, you could still pretty much tip a bike or a quad bike or a side-by-side if you went through our creeks.
What about the old adage of do as I say, not do as I do? There's a responsibility for parents to actually model the behaviour that they want their kids to engage with.
And that's where I have to have that conversation with my husband, saying, you've got to put your seatbelt on because the kids copy you, Tom. It's like, oh, okay, but I'm really, you know, it is annoying putting a seatbelt in the paddocks. And I said, yeah, but, you know, it has to change. And look, he is open to that now. And I feel like the mediator. I'm having the conversation with my children and my husband to say we need to make sure our farm safety culture is modelled for these younger people.
It's a generational change too, isn't it, really?
And look, that generational change is evident with how much I'm willing to spend on safety features. Now we have goggles and earmuffs on everything that makes a noise, which in the old former days when Tom's parents were farming, it was sort of BYO everything. But now I'm more of a blanket approach to there's no excuse for not having your PPE on. There's a minimal resort for some level of safety.
I suppose it's easy to point out those examples too, you know. Well, do you want to end up like Uncle Tom who can't hear you at the Christmas dinner table? And if you don't wear your earmuffs, that's probably what you're going to be like.
I've told that to the children. They're going to be the generation who have perfect hearing as they go into the old later years. Absolutely.
Your oldest child now is 14, and certainly that age where he probably wants to earn a bit of pocket money and can help out on the property. Are you encouraging them to do more structured farm safety training now that they're getting to that age?
Yeah, look, whether it's informal or formal, we have a lot of supervision happening with paddock management because, look, he is driving the tractor with the chaser bin at harvest and he does get paid a little bit of money to save towards a vehicle. We have reached stage with a 14-year-old who's aware of road safety because he's really keen to get his L plates. So we're able to transfer some of that safety culture for roads, rules, sharing spaces into the paddock. We also know that he's sort of his pre-vocational education or vet training in schools for ag. So again, it comes back to us as a family making sure we're getting that farm safety culture right.
Amina, you've been really thoughtful in terms of what you've put in place to help protect your kids. Is there any other things that you're doing to try and make the farm just that bit safer place for them?
In terms of safety, we always say that better beats perfect. Safety is to be an evolving thing that happens in our business. So for at the moment, as an example, I'm actually working with a little company who makes signs in Horsham to create a stop sign to position between my house and my parents-in-law house to stop visitors coming through to our workshop and silo area. It means that visitors and family have to go straight into our front driveways to park their cars. It's also having the conversation with our children of why that sign's important and why we need to look after the people who visit our farm to make sure they're safe and also to make sure the people working on our farm are protected as well.
Amity Dunstan is arguably ahead of the curve when it comes to on-farm safety for her children. She's put in a lot of safeguards that are now being recommended across the sector. Jessie Adams is at the cutting edge of this. She's currently completing a PhD with Deakin University focusing on child safety on farms. For her though, This is more than just an academic pursuit.
Yes, I was lucky enough to grow up on a farm in northeast Victoria in a place called Staghorn Flat. And so we just had a beef farm there. And I loved growing up there, helping on the farm. I did a lot of mustering on my horse. So yeah, it was great.
So you've got first-hand experience of farm life as a child. Was safety much of a conversation as you were growing up?
Like, at the time, I wasn't aware of, I guess, how dangerous farms are. It was just the place that I lived, and it was part of the lifestyle growing up, helping on the farm and being out there. Like, now I look back and kind of think about things that my parents did and didn't let me do, and there was definitely things like we weren't allowed to ride on the quad bike ever. So I think wasn't aware of it, but it was definitely thing that they obviously had in the back of their mind. But then again, we were still riding on the back of the ute and that kind of thing all the time.
Yeah, so that sounds like there were some parameters in place by your parents and they're certainly looking out for you. So are children on farms overrepresented in terms of injuries and accidents?
The injury statistics show us that children have consistently represented 15% of all farm-related fatalities in Australia. So that's children under 15. So that's approximately around 10 children a year are dying on our farms. And we don't know as much in regards to hospitalisations, as it's harder to keep tabs of, but approximately 500 children are hospitalised from farm-related injuries every year.
You're studying in this area, you're doing a doctorate in this area. I understand you've done a survey of over 100 parents and children about farm safety recently. Can you give us some broad brushstrokes of what you found in terms of farm safety culture?
So I've just completed surveys of 100 parents, and then also just over 60 of their children also completed a similar survey but targeted to children. We looked at the risk-taking behaviours, exposure to key farming hazards, as well as the kind of attitudes and use of safety measures. And I guess some of the results, they kind of just confirmed what we anecdotally knew what was happening on Australian farms, as research hasn't investigated children's exposure to farming too much before. So as expected, the results showed that children are present on the farm from a really young age, and parents also have to take their children along with them to perform farm work, which really highlighted the challenge parents face in regards to caring for their children. They have tough decisions to make every day, I guess, in regards to that. For example, whether you leave your child unsupervised at home or you take them along because you've got to complete some work, but it's obviously a very hazardous environment. The results also showed that children are actively contributing to farm work from a young age. So the results of both that parent and child survey showed that 94% of children were completing work on the farm, and over 90% of these were actually starting before they were 10 years old. And it was mainly because children enjoyed doing farm work and spending time with their family, but children aged 10 to 14 years of age in that survey cohort were actually relied upon by their parents to complete work. So that might mean they're not having to hire other people to do farm work. Other things was the main safety measures parents are using on farms. That was supervision and rules, and then barriers that parents are facing in implementing other safety measures was not being aware of what should be implemented, as well as also traditions and the influence of others around them.
Jesse, I understand leading into this that there were six key hazards identified, which are crucial in terms of farm safety for children.
In the literature, six key hazards have been identified as contributing to child farm-related fatalities. So these six hazards were responsible for 75% of child farm-related fatalities on farms. So these are water bodies, quad bikes, utes and cars, tractors, motorbikes and horses.
And what does your research tell us about the main factors influencing safety of children on farms?
So children on farms are exposed to hazards that aren't typically present in typical households, and there's often a real blurred division between the farm as a home and a workplace, which means there's behaviours that are occurring on farms that aren't really acceptable in other workplaces. I guess the risk-taking culture in kind of rural areas, so there's typically like a "she'll be right" or "it won't happen to us" attitude that can be passed down through the generations. And it's believed this can be due to exposure to danger. Children on farms are given responsibility from a really young age to be helping the family, and it's kind of part of the lifestyle and the continuation of farming throughout the family.
Jesse, when children are of primary school age, how can parents protect these children from common risks?
Primary school age children, I guess, are wanting to kind of start to become a bit more independent and want to be responsible for some tasks on the farm. So most importantly, active and constant supervision by an adult is really important. So being with them at all times. It's also important that parents are choosing developmentally appropriate tasks on the farm for children to do, so both physically and mentally. And this can vary differently from child to child. So the same age child might not be capable of performing the same task as another child that age. So making sure when they're doing these tasks that the appropriate safety measures are in place and appropriate safety equipment's being worn. So that might be high-vis vests or helmets. And also just constant communication and explanation of the task and any hazards that might arise from doing that is really important.
Jesse, what about older kids, you know, high school age? What should parents be considering for them?
Older children are really wanting to prove themselves, probably wanting to take on more tasks, but they still require that constant supervision and developmentally appropriate tasks. Also, the hierarchy of control might come in handy around that age. So that's kind of like a hierarchy of measures that can be put in place to control risks. So it starts with elimination. So you can go down through the steps to kind of find a level that is appropriate to your situation. So elimination would be not being there, or, for example, removing keys from a tractor so they can't drive it. And the next level would be substitution. So that could be using a less toxic chemical on the farm. And then also engineering controls. So installing safety switches or controlling the speed that a vehicle can go at is another option. If you can't use those top three, there's also administrative controls, which is like rules. So you can have family rules. And then finally, personal protective equipment. So we all know about that, such as helmets or respirators.
So Jesse, what are you hoping is the main outcome from the research that you're doing?
We're just hoping that it'll allow us to identify key areas that are kind of happening on the farm, identifying children's typical exposures and behaviours, so then we can start to work on developing initiatives and ways that we can make those kind of things safer for children on farms to reduce the injury rate. Because we know growing up on a farm is so fabulous and being involved in the farm is great, but we just need to make sure that it is done as safe as possible and we can reduce those injury rates.
Jesse, it sounds like a really good thing to aim for, to say the least. Jesse Adams, good luck with completing your PhD with Deakin University, and thank you for taking the time and joining us for this Campfire podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you've been listening to the Campfire podcast and would be willing to share your thoughts by answering a few questions, please let us know via the PharmaHealth website or by emailing the team at campfire.ncfh@wdhs.net. Listeners who provide their feedback will be eligible for reimbursement for their time. Thank you for listening to the Campfire podcast. For more information regarding Campfire, please visit the National Centre for PharmaHealth website. All information is accurate at the time of release. This podcast was developed by the National Centre for PharmaHealth and is funded by the Victorian State Government's WorkSafe, WorkWell Mental Health Improvement Fund.